Hey, it's Melissa Moore. Welcome to Mile High Magazine. Happy you're hanging out with us on this Sunday morning. And my favorite guy, Kevin Peterson, licensed marriage and family therapist and also founder of the Chronic Hope Institute. And Kevin, here's today's question. Why is it that therapists always want to talk about our childhood? What is going on with that?
Oh, my God. I know. How annoying, right? I don't want to talk about that stuff.
I know. It's in the past. Come on.
Oh, I know. How could that possibly have any input on the future whatsoever, you know? Well, good morning. It's nice to talk to you.
Well, good morning. Good morning, my friend.
So I have a funny phrase that I say out loud, and my wife, you know, she loves it. I say, happy families come from happy individuals. Happy individuals work on their stuff. Everybody has stuff.
Yes.
And then on the other side of the T-shirt, my wife says we're going to put this on. That's going to be on the back of the T-shirt or on the front of the T-shirt. On the back, we're going to put, yes, of course, we're going to talk about your childhood. You know, the childhood, the thing with the childhood and the family that you were raised in, and your, we call it family of origin, that's where all the markers are set. And I'm not, people always are like, I had the perfect childhood. And I'm going to tell you something. When a therapist get together, they talk about, yeah, my client's like, I had the perfect childhood. We're all just like,
I was going to say, is there such a thing?
No, okay. There's no such thing.
Good.
You know, and, you know, it's really funny because I'll use myself as the example. I grew up, my dad was very successful. I grew up what we would definitely today call wealthy, mm-hmm. you know, and privileged. And, you know, things were fantastic and wonderful. And we had all sorts of craziness going on in my household, you know. And and the thing is, as a child, you don't know any different. So what's going on in your home, what's going on in your system, what's going on in your like the immediate world that you live in 24/7, you think that's normal, no matter what it is. And so you adapt to that. If one of your parents struggles with addiction, you adapt to that. If one of your parents is abusive, you adapt to that. Mm. If one of your parents is absent, you know, for whatever reason, you don't have to be, you know, in an environment where people are hurting each other or terrible things are happening, but maybe they're just absent and what we call negligent, you know, and you learn to adapt to those things. And then that becomes your norm. And then when you become an adult and you meet other adults and you start engaging with other adults, they're like, so I don't understand. How come you just disappear when things get a little weird, you know, or uncomfortable? Or why can't you talk about your stuff? How come you always talk about other people? And, you know, like when you're in a relationship with someone and they're like, you know, I would really like to get to know you better. And you're like, well, this is it. This is all I got. It's like, well, that's not true.
So daggone it. It does come back to that childhood.
It always comes back to the childhood. And it's not a bad thing. People always think that therapists want to trash your parents. We don't. We're just looking for data. You know, we're just looking for information. I always tell my clients, you are like a jigsaw puzzle. The more you talk, the more pieces of the puzzle I get. And then the more I'm better able to understand who you are and what you are and how to help you.
Right, right. So as a therapist, we start talking about childhood. What kind of things are you getting? What kind of information are you gathering? And then what do we do with that, I guess, is the next question.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I mean, what the stuff I'm gathering and getting is kind of like what I was saying before, is what did you come up with thinking is normal, you know? And what kind of behavior was acceptable in your household? What were the things that were done? Did you guys have dinner at the same time every night? You know, did your parents sit down and help you with your homework? Did your parents come to your sporting events? Did they come to your music recitals? You know, what was that environment like? And then if they didn't, how come? And what was told? And what was the story that was created about why those things happened or didn't happen? What were the priorities of your family system?
Right.
And that, when I can find that information out, you know, and it takes a long time. Let's be clear. People don't walk into the first session and say, hey, let me tell you about the first 17 years of my life. You know, it generally takes time and we just have to be patient and listen. But what that does for me as a therapist, when you're an adult, because people come into therapy generally looking for, like, here's the problem, I need help.
Yep.
And they think that's the problem.
Sure.
And what we're taught in graduate school is, well, that's not the problem. That's what's on the surface. But the problem is something underlying beneath that we need to dig into to figure out why does it keep happening? Why do I only date people for 3 to 6 months and then jump? You know, what's that all about?
Yep.
Why do I only have jobs for a year and then jump? Why am I unsatisfied with the amount? Well, why am I always unsatisfied with everything around me?
Oh, yeah. Good questions.
you know. And sure, a certain part of that at work can be, I want to make more money and I want to climb the ladder. Sure,
yeah.
Okay. But how much is enough?
Right.
You know, how far do you need to go?
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, how come I find that, you know, I'm always getting in trouble at work for not being able to be polite to my coworkers or have good boundaries, or, you know, how come my spouse or my person I'm in a relationship with says I'm emotionally unavailable and I'm not willing to talk about things?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, let's talk about that. You know, let's, maybe they're asking too much. Maybe you're giving too little,
right.
You know, and the keys to those, the answers to those questions really rely in what was modeled for you as a child on what is normal. Because in your mind, you're thinking, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Well, you're doing what you know. Yeah. You don't even have a second set of blueprints.
Exactly. And so in order for me to know what it is I can help you with, we have to figure out what it is you were taught.
Right. So you go back, you see yeah. that, you're like, okay, so you were taught this, this, and this. Then as a therapist, what, I mean, obviously the person is there and they recognize there's an issue, but then what do you do next?
Then we start talking about a couple of different things. You know, depending on what it is, you know, we can start giving them like a treatment plan and saying, okay, I want you to, you know, go outside your comfort zone in these areas in the next week and then report back in and tell me how it went. So what does that mean? What I mean is, I want you to go, you know, to lunch with your coworkers and talk to them for 15 minutes. And I know that feels like I'm telling you to pull your fingernails off, you know?
Right.
And that's okay, you know? That's okay. You can do that. And I know your spouse wants you to sit there and talk to you and look in your eyes and talk to you at dinner and not watch your phone or turn on the TV and just talk about your day. So just do it once and let's see how it goes.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it, I mean, it's those little things. Another thing I'm really big on with people is, I want you to get up and walk around the block for 15 minutes.
Mm.
You know, I want you to step outside your comfort zone. I want you to try a little meditation. I want you to shut down for 5 minutes and just not have any disturbances. And I just want you to practice some things and see how they work. And we'll see if that counters the problem that you're having.
Explain why the meditation and why the walk around the block. Why do you bring up those two things?
You know, because I firmly believe in exercise, that it releases all sorts of great things in your body, and serotonin and dopamine and all the good things that you're supposed to get. To have. Those are sort of like the natural happy stuff that mm-hmm. your brain produces, you know. And so getting up and exercising, actually, they've proven, just makes, you know, it gives you those chemical releases that makes you feel better. And it's good for your health, number
right.
one, and
right.
number two. You know, and then the meditation is really all about learning to slow yourself down and just take a deep breath and not overwhelm yourself. A lot of people come in to me and they're just freaked out. They're just,
yeah.
they got so much going on. There's so much on their plate. And so what I want to teach them how to do is take a step next. And what I say is, I want you to come sit here next to me
mm-hmm.
and look at you like I'm looking at you and say, wow, look at all the things this person's dealing with. One of the things they can do is just learn to give themselves a break and take 5 minutes to just slow down, reduce all the inputs, and just take a breath and let them power down for a few minutes and see how it goes.
Right. Because what happens in that power down mode in the brain?
We get a chance to relax. We get a chance to recuperate and rejuvenate ourselves. And we start to feel better about ourselves. We don't. We lose the overwhelm. We lose the anxiety. We lose the frustration. And we start to gain that place of like, okay, I can handle this.
Mm-hmm.
I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we start to get that self-esteem. We start to get that self-worth back. But when we're running at 125%, 24/7,
yeah.
we're lost.
Yeah.
We're just lost.
There is a calmness that happens by slowing down.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
you know, that's the idea, is that we're really just trying to train, just like you go to the gym or you go exercise to train your body to feel better about itself and to release all the good stuff. Meditation does the same thing for your mind.
Yeah.
The exact same thing. We have to teach our mind how to relax and how to slow down and how to just take a breath. So that's why we're doing it. It's just to give yourself a break.
I think it's so interesting that other cultures do it so much easier than we do.
True. And I, you know, I mean, obviously this is a big deal in a lot of the Eastern cultures, which, by the way, are thousands of years old.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And we are much more, you know, I mean, what do we say? 300-400 years old. And, you know, we like to think we're at the, you know, the spear point or the tip of progress. But on technological and all sorts of stuff like that. But, you know, we can also take a look back at these older civilizations and realize that they were big on, hey, you know, let's try some meditation. How about some prayer? How about some exercise? How about slowing things down? They've learned. They've been around longer than we have.
Right, right. So true. So one of the questions I have for you about, you know, as we're looking at our childhood, you hear the term a lot of times, attachment styles. Where does that fall in?
Well, the attachment style has a lot to do with how you were raised. So if you had parents that were, you know, negligent, where they really just were like, hey, like latchkey kids, you know, come home from school, make yourself dinner, make yourself lunch, handle it, take care of yourself. You know, those people can be very, you know, standoffish, or they can be very clingy and needy because they're like, hey, I never got this need met and I want this need met desperately.
Right, right.
You know, and then if you grew up with parents that were constantly hovering over you and constantly taking care of you and solving all your problems, your attachment style may be very much like, yeah, I don't need you, you know. And so there's lots of different styles. And, you know, there's the anxious. There's lots of different styles of attachment. But a lot of that comes from how were you raised? What were your experiences as a child? And because those set the markers for what you're looking at as an adult.
Once again, you're talking about the childhood. You get these attachment styles. You as a therapist kind of like, okay, all right, I see what you're doing here. Because you do pick those up and carry them. But can you make a change? If you have always been anxious attachment because of how your childhood was, can you all of a sudden with therapy make a change and make a healthier choice?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the whole point of therapy, in my estimation. That's the whole point. Is people come in and say with that sort of the anxious stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, let's figure out let's address your anxiety. Let's address where that comes from. We have to know where, in order to address it, we have to know where it comes from.
Right.
We have to do that sort of, you know, research mission, you know, and we got to go down that path. And it may be really uncomfortable and a little bit scary. You may not like it, but that's going to help you. You're not alone. Mm-hmm. And so the idea then is that once we identify where it comes from, then we know how to address it and how to change it.
Mm-hmm.
And what steps we need to take. And there's lots of different methodologies. There's no one way to go about that. You
sure.
know? There's all sorts of trauma work. There's anxiety work. There's somatic work. There's, you know, cognitive behavioral. There's dialect, all sorts of different methodologies to try to change that. You know, the thing is, it's like going to the gym. Do you want to change? Do you really want to get better? Because you're going to have to put in the effort.
I mean, I would assume it's going to take quite a while. I know in my own personal journey, it took time and repetition until it became the comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. And that's okay. Some people do, you know, it all depends on the stuff that you're dealing with and, you know, what happened, et cetera, et cetera. But then it's also your willingness to change. But there's no quick fix.
Right.
You know, it definitely takes time. It takes time. And the other thing is, it's okay when you make a mistake. It's okay when, you know, something comes up and you're like, oh my God, I totally regressed. It's like, that's okay. That's okay. We can learn from that.
Right.
In general, in life, we need to be forgiving with ourselves and forgiving with others.
And I think that's just, I mean, that's all great information. And then have it help you kind of go through that journey and hold you accountable and help keep steering you on the right path when you do slip.
Absolutely. I always tell people that my job is to be kind of a combination, you know, coach, cheerleader, accountability partner. You know, a lot of times people just come in and they just want someone to listen. And
yeah.
I'm like, I'm happy to do that for you. Are you looking for direction? I'll give you direction and homework. Are you just looking for someone to listen? No problem. I'm happy to do that. Eventually, if all you want is someone to listen, eventually I'm going to say, so look, do you want to change this behavior? I mean, because that's really what I can help with.
But I mean, I always say the people that at least come in the door are so much better off than the folks that never walk through that therapy door.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I think the moment you're willing to ask for help, you're already starting the process of recovery or the process of change.
Right. And it takes so much courage.
It's the hardest part in any journey is that first step, asking for help. What do I do? I need help, you know, and the other thing too is if you're considering this and you meet a therapist and you're like, this is not the one for me, try somebody else. It's okay. There's plenty available.
Kevin Peterson, licensed marriage and family therapist. I always love talking to you. For folks that want to get in touch with you and want to learn more about your practice and what you do, how should they do that?
The best way to get a hold of me is on the practice side is actually go to petersonfamilycounseling.com. We have an office in Denver and an office in Florida. And you can also go to my chronichope.us website. And then I have a great Instagram that I like. It's at Kevin W. Peterson, Peterson with an E.
And you have great information on your social media, I will just tell you.
Oh, thank you. I really love that.
Kevin Peterson, always good to talk to you. Until next month, my friend. I'm Melissa Moore. This is Mile High Magazine. Thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us. We appreciate it. Go out, have a blessed day, and remember, be kind to everyone.